Welcome back. I need to move on here. We're getting to the end of chapter 13. The Messiah says, but in those days after that tribulation, he identifies the time he's talking about now. He says after that tribulation, and we know the tribulation of the times, the beginnings of sorrows that continues to this day. So a time when the sun will be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. That hasn't happened yet, but the tribulation that he foretold that was beginning in that day is continues to today. So we know it's after he identifies when what he's going to talk about. He says the stars of heaven shall fall and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. So he's talking about even cosmic events that will happen. And he says, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. And so we know that most of us will see the end of our mortality before this time comes. But for those that are alive and remain, using the words of Paul, that they will rise, that they will be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. It will be a glorious but even a terrible time for those who are living at that time when that comes, as we see from, as foretold from our prophecy future yet, that before the Messiah comes, it could be a pretty tough time on the earth, but it could be a pretty tough time depending on where you are right now, whether you're in the iron and all the pagans feel safe in the iron, or you're in the clay. And if you're one of God's people, you're not too comfortable when the iron tramples on you, to use a graphic illustration. So then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. And who are these elect? Well, these elect are the chosen people of God. No, they're not people that call themselves Jews. They're not the Babylonian, Talmudic, Judaistic people that live in the land of Palestine or practice that religion wherever they are on earth. They're not the Sephardim, which claim to trace their lineage back to the Hebrew roots of the time of Palestine. No, it's not them. The elect are those who are the true followers of Yahuwah, who desire more than anything else to live their life in a way that's pleasing to the Heavenly Father, whose sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. They are God's chosen people. They are the elect. We are the elect. So if we were alive in that time, then this would apply to us. But for those that follow us, that we witness to, that are the fruit of our labor that we do by the grace of God as servants to Him, as a pleasure to serve Him, to spread His word in the gospel, and hopefully it has an effect for generations to come. Those that are alive and remain, they will be gathered. As it says here, He shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth, from the uttermost parts of heaven. And now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. He's saying it's this simple. Just like you know that spring is coming, because you look at the buds on the tree and you go, summer is near. That it's the season. So ye, in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. So those that are alive at that time, when they see the sun darkened, and I don't know what's going to happen, you know, perhaps worldwide pollution, I don't know. It's going to be dark enough that the sun is dark. Now, I can see that happening. Some worldwide catastrophic event that cuts out most of the sunlight because it says the sun is darkened, but the moon doesn't give her light. The light of the moon is not bright enough to infiltrate what the sun can only shine through darkly. Ooh, that sounds bad, doesn't it? That's quite conceivable in my mind. I can see that happening easily. So there's a sign of the time. This could be several hundred years off. It could be 50 years off. I don't really know. I don't think it's 2 years off, though. I don't think it's going to happen in 2012. I could be wrong. Be just fine with me. But I'm going to live my life to leave this world behind for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and my great-great-grandchildren. Because I believe it's more likely that I will come to the end of my mortality. Hopefully at 110 or something like that. That I'll be around a good long time to work for my Heavenly Father. And that He'll retire me when He's ready. And maybe before that. I may be called to lay down my life. I don't know. I'll just live one day at a time to my Heavenly Father. And I'll see what happens. But I could see a worldwide catastrophic event that cuts out the sun of the moon, and I mean the light of the moon entirely, and leaves it so that only the sun can only come through darkly, because here it's pretty explicit. The sun's darkened, so much so that the light of the moon is not bright enough to get through. The moon doesn't give her light. The sun is darkened. Can you see that? I can take this literally. I don't have a problem. Very conceivable. May have been inconceivable. Many years ago, they had a little taste of it back then when the Messiah was on the cross and it was dark for a day. The afternoon became dark like night. So he said, when you see these things, just like you know that spring's coming when the branch is tender, that it's going to put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you in like manner, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that is nigh even at the doors. So if I see the sky is darkened so that the sun is darkened, and the moon can't shine, well, we know. We'll know. I can read that sign. It's clear. So when that happens, we'll know. He says, for verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Now, there's a big argument over here. The hyper-preterists like to say that this generation here is he's referring to the present generation that he's talking to. And of course, this is illogical. This, all these things didn't happen. The hyper-preterists will say that this all happened in 70 AD. When it says this generation, is he referring to the generation that sees the sun darkened and the moon not giving its light? He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Well, you know, I have to use a little bit of logic here. I have to look around and go, obviously, to apply this properly. The things that happened in that generation that he was talking to happened in that generation. And for many of those people, those things happen. But the end of the world hasn't come, and the resurrection hasn't come, and the sun hasn't been darkened, and the moon not giving her light. I haven't seen that yet. I've seen overcast days. And of course, if you lived around Mount St. Helens or one of these volcanoes when it got off, yes, it got like that. So we see how that could happen easily if we had some kind of worldwide disbursement of particulate matter in the atmosphere. And that's about as technical as I can talk about that. Then we can see how that could happen. And he finishes off here. He says, and heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So everything he spoke here remains until heaven and earth pass away. And you know what? I look out my window and I see the heaven and I see the earth. As a matter of fact, my body's made of earth. You know, I'm sitting on the earth and the earth has been formed into things all around me, rooms and computers. So the earth hasn't passed away. The heaven hasn't passed away. And his word continues. All these things that he said until heaven and earth pass away, his word will not pass away. So let's apply it where it belongs. And I hope I've done a good job here and nobody's confused. If you have any comments, you think I'm wrong about something, well, I have an email address. My website is crosstheborder.org. Need to go over there and you need to email me, challenge me, show me where I'm wrong, give me scriptural reference, verse and chapter, and straighten me out if you think I'm wrong. I might be wrong on something. Maybe you could straighten me out. Perhaps you spent more time. Perhaps the Heavenly Father, by His Holy Spirit, has revealed something to you that He hasn't revealed to me yet. Crosstheborder.org. Find that email address there or email me and just let me know what you think of this study. Or just say, hi, I'm listening. That would be nice. It's nice to hear from people once in a while. And I do thank those people, and I try to answer all the emails that I get. It may take me a few days, and sometimes I just have to think about them for a while before I answer them. Think and pray. I get some fairly serious emails from some very serious and genuine people that have problems or questions. And so I take them all very seriously. Okay. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Chapter 13 and verse 32. He says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not what time, when the time is. Okay. But what is that day? But of that day. So he says, first he says, he's talking about these things happening in the heavens, the sun being darkened and the moon, so that the moon can't give its light. That can be easily conceived of. That day, well, that's the day. He says, this generation shall not pass. And perhaps he's being specific to the generation. I guess they could have translated it that generation, or the generation that sees those things, that sees the sun, moon, the sun darken and the moon not giving its light. It could have been written that way. Perhaps it would have been clearer, and all the hyperpreterists wouldn't be confused out there if it had been translated or written that way. So when he says, but of that day, is that what he's referring to? Well, I have to say yes. I can't find any, I'm looking for a day that's antecedent to the statement here of that day, and that's what I come back to. The day that the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give its life light, and that's what I get back to. So that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. So the Father hasn't even revealed it to himself as the Son. He's hidden that from himself. God can do whatever he wants. You know, it's a mystery to me. Well, I hide things from myself all the time. Don't you ever run around, where did I put that? Yeah, it happens to me all the time. Now I understand that prophecy. Yes, neither the Son, but the Father does. Yes, I can understand that. He says, take ye heed, watch and pray. Chapter 13 and verse 33. For you know not when the time is. So he's saying, watch and pray, you know, and to watch and pray. It goes back to that why the disciples couldn't cast out that devil. And they asked him, why couldn't we do it? And he says, well, you know, you guys aren't spending enough time in prayer and fasting. You know, you just aren't there, man. You aren't in the spirit enough. You know, the flesh overcomes you and you fall to temptation. There's temptation to unbelief, because he says, you know, that you're, how long will you doubt? So he says, take heed, pay attention, watch and pray. Yes, be in the spirit, be in communion with your Heavenly Father. And to do that, you have to live the life. You have to live your life in a way that's pleasing to him, or you don't have any communion and you have no prayer, because prayer is talk. You're talking with God. You have communion. You know him. And guess what? He knows you. There are a lot of people out there talking to themselves, thinking they're talking to God, because they aren't living the life. For you know not when the time is. And he continues, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants. You know what I say to that? Hallelujah. You know, the Messiah, he's gone. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And Father said to him, sit here at my right hand till I make your enemies thy footstool. And so he's on this far journey, and he gave power and authority. It says he gave authority to his servants. That's us. He gives us authority. So, hallelujah. And to every man his work. He's given you your work. Are you doing it? Are you living your life to please him? Are you doing the work that he has given you? See, what is that scripture? It's one of my memory verses. Oh, and I can't think of it, but there is one that has to do with work. It talks about the good works which God has before ordained that we might walk in them. That's the works. that he's talking about here, to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. And I guess a porter is a gatekeeper, a warden, a man that watches the door, he that kept the door, and commanded the porter to watch. So watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. You don't know. You don't know when your life's going to end. You don't know when your mortality, your period of mortality is up. And the way it's given to us in the Genesis account, ye shall surely die. That's the sentence we all have. That's your personal death sentence. Ye shall surely die. And who can dispute that? What more evidence does anyone need? Everyone is dying. No one's going to live forever. Well, they may not want to accept it. They may be so fixed on the things of this world that they can't see the end of their life until they get there, and then the terror that's going to overtake them, if they have time for terror. And I think that most of the ungodly do experience some terror at death because they're not prepared. But he says, watch ye therefore, and know, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And of course, the man who's supposed to watch, the doorkeeper, is getting paid to watch the door. You know, it's just like, the prison guards in the Roman Empire. If their prisoner escaped, if they weren't watching, they were put to death. They suffered terribly for their lapse of judgment. So we don't want to be asleep. And of course, the sleep there is that we're not awake in the spirit. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. So he says, not just you guys that are hearing my voice here and 2,000 years ago. And what I'm saying to you, I'm saying to all. And that's why it's recorded here for us, because we are part of the all that he's saying it to. And there we have it. We got through the entire chapter 13, and we're moving on. Chapter 14. Continue in our gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 14, verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft. So we know what month it is. It is the moon of Abib. They just had a new moon, and they began the first month of the year, and coming up to the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There are 2 days. It says after 2 days was the feast, so putting us on the calendar, on the Creator's calendar. Of course, this wasn't April whatever or March or whenever they have their Ashtaroth celebration. Although they did celebrate Ashtaroth in the Roman Empire. So we know what time of year it is, and we know who the Passover lamb is. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and do what? Put him to death. These chief priests that wanted to put him to death, they just couldn't put it together. This is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, And they're playing their part. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman. So this is, I believe that we're talking about 2 days before Passover. I believe that's what we get here. It says after 2 days. So that means it's 2 days before Passover. That's the way I'm reading it anyway. Being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat, and there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, a very, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And that's true. We have the poor with us always in the back in the last century, so to speak, according to the division of times, according to the Pope's calendar, the 1960s, they began the war on poverty, and they were going to wipe out the poor. How'd that work out? Well, I guess they didn't read this verse here where Jesus said, "For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do good to them." You can always do good to the poor. "But me, you have not always." And you know, I believe he's speaking to his disciples, the believers, and specifically one there who was the keeper of the treasury. And he saw that waste, and he thought about that money should have gone in the treasury. That's what I'm thinking here. "She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial to her, of her." So we have a memorial of her. And look at there. I've run out of time. Okay. We'll be back next time on Cross the Border. And all you say and do, bless his holy name. Hallelujah.